People.
Don't you know?
Places.
Don't you know?
Events.
Don't you know?
From the campus of Winona State University, KQAL-FM is proud to present...
Don't you know?
Welcome to Don't You Know. Usually what we do on this show is tell you what's going on around town. Today we have a special guest, and we're going to talk about things going on in the at the Marine Art Museum for throughout the summer. I've got Nicole Chamberlain Dupree with me. How are you doing today?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Good.
Good. Happy summer.
Yes, yes. And thanks for being on our show.
Oh, I'm so happy to be here. Thanks for giving the museum such love and attention.
Oh, for sure. We love it down there.
Oh, thank you.
First off, you know, throughout the summer, I know you guys have different exhibits going on, some ongoing things. You want to talk about that a little bit?
Yeah. So right now we have two really fantastic exhibitions. We have Eagles Over the Water, which is a preview of the National Eagle Center's collection. And so there are about, 236, I think, is our final count. Or else it's 256. I'm not sure. I have not personally counted.
Oh, wow.
But there's a lot of items in this exhibition, and it's from the collection of Preston Cook, who is an obsessive eagle collector. He has over 25,000 eagle paraphernalia of eagles in American culture. And he's donated his entire collection, and he's still collecting. He's still building this collection.
Wow.
Like, it's still growing.
And he donated that to the museum, huh?
To the National Eagle Center.
Oh, to the National Eagle Center.
Yeah, the National Eagle Center up in Wabasha. So we are partnering with them and with him to show less than 1%.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, and it's a phenomenal exhibition. It's up through October 14th, so there is ample time to see it, but it has everything from Andy Warhol to Shepard Fairey posters to Eagle rock concert posters to comic book covers to World War One, a political button from before political buttons existed, I think. But just everything of eagles in a broad array of medium and historical importance and reference. Oh, it's incredible.
Wow.
There's something for everybody in this show.
Yeah. Well, I heard you mention Eagles rock concert. Is that like the band, the Eagles?
The band, the Eagles, their poster.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Yeah, Grateful Dead poster. Like, it's...
Wow. So it really is all different kinds of stuff.
Wherever an eagle appears, this gentleman has collected.
Wow.
Yeah. So like snuff boxes. Really old, I think like 1940s, like condom box, no joke.
Really.
And political buttons for all political parties, travel posters, propaganda posters, Annie Leibovitz photographs, like,
wow.
It's tremendous. An old drum, like,
really,
I don't remember which war, civil or revolutionary or pre, but
holy,
right, it's amazing. Boy Scouts, Girl Scouts, like,
right,
if you have any interest in anything American or just iconography or fine art, this show has something for everybody.
Cool.
And that's just one of the shows. And then we have...
Just the eagle thing. Has he mentioned like why he started collecting these or anything like that?
Yes. So he was inspired by a movie called... I think the movie's called A Thousand Clowns. And there is a line. There is one line that the lead act, the lead character, the protagonist says is, "You can never have too many eagles." And he saw this when he was a young man, and he was drafted, and he kind of started thinking, you know what, I'm going to collect eagles. And so his very first piece in his collection were the buttons from his uniform. When he turned in the uniform, he snipped off the buttons, and he now keeps them and transfer them on across all of his blazers.
Oh,
and that's
his
first piece from his eagle collection are his eagle previously buttons, now cufflinks.
Wow, that's pretty cool.
It's amazing. So those are not in the exhibition because he wears them.
He wears them.
Yeah.
He's got to keep a little bit of a memento for himself.
Absolutely. And I think he still lives with a handful of items from the collection until he's like ready for them to move into the collection.
Right?
But it's 25,000 pieces. I mean, can you even imagine? But it runs the gamut from like size, from like a Cracker Jack box toy to there was this big brass or tin, no, it was brass, shield that is, I think, 8 feet by 8 feet that John Swanson and Dave Casey, the curators at the museum, wanted to install to mount outside the exhibition. But they're like, we just don't have we don't know, don't have the wall like support. We'd have to just drill all of these counterweights and sinks and sails into this wall to hold this piece up. So we're just going to give it back. So like it ranges in size from the tiniest to the grandest, and in all mediums. I mean, he's got stationery from almost every president, every presidential figure. Like it's amazing. Like talk about obsessive. And he jokes that once it becomes a collection, you're no longer a hoarder. Now yeah, you're a collector. You move from hoarder to collector.
One thing, you know, he's collecting.
But is it? Cool. Right? No, it's really fantastic. So this show it's really cool. I mean, you go in there and you see something different each time you visit. It's neat.
Cool. And
John and Dave have even included my favorite piece is a tabloid cover that says "Boy Stolen Away by Eagle."
Wow.
It's cool. It's really cool. It's a really great show. I think people will enjoy it. If not for the history, then just for like the variety.
Yeah. It sounds really neat.
So that's up through October. There's something fun and something for everybody in it, which is really great. And then our other big exhibition this summer that wraps up near the end of August is a Minnesota painter who now lives in Pennsylvania. His name is Thomas Paquette.
Okay.
And he painted the length of the Mississippi from the Itasca headwaters all the way down to the Delta.
Wow.
And his paintings are just saturations of color. They almost look like, in this age of social media and filters on your photography, it looks like some of the old school filters that Instagram used to have.
Oh, wow.
It's beautiful, but they're all paintings, and it's how he sees the river.
Right.
And he painted them all outdoors. So it's en plein air when you paint outside, and he painted them outdoors, and they're cool. Like, it's kind of, you come in and you're almost a little overwhelmed by these two diverse exhibitions because Thomas Paquette's is very what people think of as like quote unquote fine art.
Right.
Whereas Preston's collection of eagles is kind of just an eagle collection. Right. But they work because they go with our mission of like, you know, showcasing humankind's historic and ongoing relationship with water, because Thomas is painting along the water and then Preston's collecting eagles who need this water to exist. So they make sense together, but they're for very different minds and experiences, but people are loving both of them equally.
Cool. Well, like, that's cool to have the different exhibits like that, you know?
Totally. Like some people who are coming for the eagle exhibition are loving Thomas Paquette, and some people who are coming for Thomas Paquette's exhibition are like, man, I had no idea that the eagle appeared on so many comic book covers. Like, yeah, you're absolutely right. And we only showed a very small portion of them. Like, I think we only have 9 comic book covers out.
Oh, wow. Only.
Yeah. Only 9. Because Dave and John wanted to show, like, the depth and breadth of the collection. And as they say, they just threw a stone across the surface of this collection.
Wow.
I know. You kind of want to get in there and just do, like, an exhibition on musical posters, like rock posters.
Cool.
Yeah,
cool.
Political posters, comic book covers, pop art. Like, I love all of it.
Well, that's nice that you get some people in from each exhibit that enjoy the other exhibit, you know? That's really cool.
That's our goal as an art museum, right?
Right. What else do we have going on this summer?
So the second Saturday of each month, we still have our second Saturday program going strong, and that is through October.
Okay,
cool. So this is second Saturday of each month. Is $1 admission all day, 10 to 5, and we've got tours every half hour, art activities. Each one has a special theme. And this day we are so proud of because we won this grant from the Minnesota State Arts Board to do this type of program.
Cool.
And our goal, it's an arts access grant, was, so the museum sees about 90% of its attendance from travelers, from visitors, from tourists.
Okay, sure.
And we wanted to grow the 55987 visitors, like, you know, why,
right,
how do we get more of our community to come and visit the museum? Like, what,
it's such a treasure right here in town, you know?
I agree, but it's one of those things, like, because it's in your backyard, you might not, you might take it for granted, you might not be interested, the timing might just not work out, you don't have time, something else comes up, the museum's always going to be there, and we are. So there's almost this, not a rush to schedule a trip or to plan a trip or to work it in. And sometimes the museum's also kind of seen as something special that you have to do. Like, you have to plan for it. You have to dress a certain way. You have to coordinate. Like, no, No, no. You can show up in sweats, t-shirt, tank top, flip-flops, dirty hair. Like, we don't care. Right.
As long as you come in and enjoy the art.
Exactly, exactly. Or enjoy the 68 degree temperature, right?
Like, right.
68 definitely. Degrees all year round, beautiful stuff on the wall. Like, we don't care if you know the difference between Monet and Manet, if you know how to say Leutze or Van Gogh properly. Like, just we want you to enjoy the museum, enjoy being there, enjoy what you're looking at, because it's beautiful, priceless, original masterpieces and works of art from artists across time and place. And so we got this grant to reduce admission on the second Saturday of each month just to $1.
Okay.
And the tours are very brief. They're either 20 or 30 minutes.
Okay.
So this Saturday, the 14th, is Gardens and Art.
Okay.
So there's a garden tour. I do a little 20-minute tour a couple times each day about how to visit a museum.
Oh, nice.
Because we've even heard from some folks that they just don't know what to do in a museum. And that can be a little scary. And I fully get it. I fully get it. So I kind of do a, here's the lay of the land. Here's what you need to know. And really what you need to know, don't touch the art. That's all.
That's all.
And just stay a good distance back, that if sneezes happen, you're not projecting onto paintings, right? Like, that's, I'm a very large sneezer, right? Like, my sneezes are not cute. They're not tiny. They're not petite. They're not adorable.
Epic
like
when sneezes, huh?
I wind up for a sneeze, right? And so I share, like, we don't expect anybody to touch. Like, there's not that malicious will in the majority of visitors to a museum. It's just sneezes happen. Like, we don't think you're gonna touch, we don't think you're gonna lick the painting, and really it's gross. Like, there is lead paint, there is dead bugs, there is like fly poop on all, like, don't lick paintings or sculptures, they're really gross. But it's the element of accidents happen and sneezes happen. I'm a big sneezer. I talk with my hands. How many times have I already hit this microphone, right? Like, just life happens, and we don't want you to accidentally do something to a painting and then have that affect how you feel about visiting a museum. So we have
stay
a lot
a
of
safe
fun.
Distance.
Stay a safe distance, 2 to 3 feet back. Mm-hmm. If you're a big sneezer like me, I normally stay a little farther back just because museums are 68 degrees. That can be a little chilly. Sometimes sneezes happen. And that's what I say to people, is sneezes happen.
Yeah.
They do. And they're powerful.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you can just come in on a second Saturday and appreciate the art in your own way, right?
Exactly. And it's $1. There's tours. You don't even have to do tours. There's a couple art making activities all throughout the day for all ages and abilities.
Nice.
So the July one is making a dream catcher, and then origami flowers to make a little flower garden that you never have to water.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Cool.
So to connect with that themes of gardens and art.
Right.
And then we normally have a musician play at least an hour, if not a couple times throughout the day in one of the galleries.
Okay.
Yeah, which is kind of a fun little treat when you realize how beautiful the arts kind of work together naturally, they just kind of, they're all friends. They're all friends that complement one another. So we've got music, and we have, like, I think the biggest runaway hit of Second Saturday has been bingo. Like,
really?
Gallery bingo overboard.
How does that work?
So there's three different levels. You can pick up three different sheets, bingo sheets. There's there's easium, intermediate, and difficult. And the images you have to find in a work of art.
Oh,
so when you get to the medium and difficult, it's not just about looking for like a deer or a chicken or a Swedish flag or a waterfall in a work of art. Like, that's the easiest kind of ones that we give to the littlest viewers, the youngest viewers, or even the novice visitors, right? Like, there's no judgment.
Yeah, whatever I would probably need the easy one.
Whatever card you pick up, there is zero judgment, and there are good prizes. And then intermediate and difficult, we say an artist who has three names, or an artist who truncates his signature, or an artist who only signs his last name versus his full name.
Oh, wow.
Or an artist who's from Germany, right? Like, so we have, we get you kind of digging in a little bit to who the artists are.
Right.
So, like, we had someone say, does Vincent van Gogh count as a three-named artist? And I'm like, technically, no. Because Van Gogh is one last name.
Right.
And so I'm trying to steer them toward the artist who is triple named artist. And I'm like, but I'm not going to not give it to you because you looked and you asked me this question, which means you really want it to work.
Yeah.
So I'm I'm not the bingo wizard. We have a volunteer who's kind of like, he's the bingo skipper, he calls himself.
Okay.
Marine Art Museum, right?
You gotta, sure. Yep.
I called him the bingo captain. He says, no, I'm a skipper. And so he kind of wrangles the bingo and explains the game. But we had, after our very first second Saturday in March, we had Doug Trock, a farmer's insurance agent. He came with his family. And he got in touch and he said, I want to sponsor bingo.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. So he's a bingo sponsor. So he's like sponsoring all of the prizes for bingo during Second Saturday. So we swap out prizes for Second Saturday to be like really good prizes, like notepads and stickers and markers and like really cool stuff to the point that I'm like, I kind of just want all of these toys. And my team is so great. They're like, then you have to fill the board, Nicole. Like, you have to go through. Like, you just can't get one bingo line. You have to get the board as the director if you want a prize.
Oh, wow.
Oh. Right?
And
right?
You probably can't use the easy one either, huh?
No, of course not. I've been there for almost 2.5 years. I can't use the easy one anymore.
That'd be cheating.
So I'm going through. I'm like, where's the deer? Where are deer? And my team is like, we're not giving you any hints. Like, go figure it out.
Right.
Because I want those prizes. Those are good prizes. So we have prizes for you, Bill, if you come and do bingo.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. That's awesome. And that's during your second Saturday.
That's
then,
during second Saturday that we have the improved bingo prizes. But we offer bingo overboard throughout the week on every visit. It's just card, and it's very different. But the prizes are still good.
Cool.
But it's kind of become people's go-to if they're coming back for a couple Second Saturdays, because we change the bingo cards.
Right?
Yeah.
Oh, nice.
So people are coming, they're like, I'm going to do bingo again. And they're like, okay, thanks for coming.
Cool. And it's not only prizes, it sounds like a really good way to get into the art, too. And
that's our little secret. Yeah, that's a little secret. We secretly got you to enjoy the collection and not worry. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, make it more accessible.
Exactly. Because you're not concerned if that's a Monet versus a Renoir versus a Sicily versus a Hope and an Autobahn. Like, so what?
Cool.
Did you find the deer? Because I haven't found the deer. So if you know where the deer is, call me at the museum. I know where the chickens are.
Nice.
Yeah.
Nice.
There's one painting with chickens. Two paintings.
Cool. And I know, speaking of your summer programs, Mississippi Sippin'.
Yeah.
That has changed times, correct?
Yes. Mississippi Sippin' is every Tuesday. We moved it up a half hour. So 4:30 to 6:30.
Okay.
So we can make sure that our visitors who are traveling in from out of town, from the cities, from La Crosse, from wherever, that it starts while they're still there. So they can stay a little longer in Winona, enjoy. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 4:30 to 6:30. And that is every Tuesday, pending weather.
Right, because it's outside.
It's outside.
It's out on the walk there.
It's out on the walk. Exactly. So if it's torrential downpour or if there's a heat index over 100. So last year we put in place, like, it's too hot for people to be outside because my umbrellas keep, like, breaking and flying off into the weeds and
we've had some windy weather with some storms lately, so
we have and we want to make sure that everybody is safe and comfortable and not going to add to their summer sunburns by enjoying
right. And it is right on the river. I want to mention that too, so
it's a beautiful setting. The museum also, we did it since the museum is closed during Mississippi Sippin', except for the restrooms, of course.
Sure.
That if people wanted to come and try to get in for a half hour before the museum closes at 5.
Okay.
They're totally able to.
Right.
Yeah. So the museum is open. So if they want to start with a little quick run around the museum and then head out for their glass of wine and their little whatever they decide to bring, awesome.
Cool.
Awesome. We're still open. And the bathrooms are always open. I'm indoors. I don't get to be outside as a pale redhead.
Oh, yeah, I suppose.
Yeah, I've got a 7-minute burn window.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, 7 minutes outside and I'm sunburned.
You need to carry an umbrella yourself.
I need to wear an umbrella. Like those funny hats. Little hats. Yes.
Sure.
Yes. I first saw them in Beetlejuice. Yeah. So I kind of just stay inside and direct people to the bathroom. So if you come on a Tuesday and you have to go to the bathroom or you want to see me, I'm inside.
Wow.
And that's through September. We try to take advantage of the full the full summer as Minnesotans. I mean, come on, we try to have September. We try to have summer last until like Halloween. Ideally,
oh yeah, I sure hope so. I love summer.
Meat. I like cool summer. These days are a little much for me. I joke that these are too hot for this ginger.
Wow. And then, you know, speaking of ongoing programs, do you have any like programs geared towards specific age groups, like youth programs or, you know, retirees, anything like that?
So we have our Toddler Tuesdays. That is the second Tuesday of every month. So we just had our Toddler Tuesday for July. Mm-hmm. And that is, like I said, second Tuesday from 10:30 to noon. And there's activities indoors. And it's $2 per kids, free for parents, free for members.
Nice.
And they're fun little toddler activities. And then we have Spark once a month as well. And that is on, I believe, the first Wednesday of every month from 10:30 to noon. And that requires people to sign up. But that is a program geared toward those living with memory loss and their care partners.
Right. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we have Art Venture, which is six and up programs. Once a quarter. So we just had one in June, so the next one should be in August, I believe. It's every other month. Yep. So Heather creates some fun activity that engages with the gallery. So our calendar is very full.
Yeah, you have a lot going on.
We've got a lot going on. So like going to our website or watching us on the socials, like that's where we post about everything. Because we even just had Family Fest at the end of June on June 30th.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, which was 10:30 to 1. And that's when we did free admission. Okay. Tons of activities indoors and outdoors. And if you remember that day, it was like a scorcher.
Oh.
A scorcher. And McDonald's donated apple slices and water bottles. The water bottles were gone. Like we were handing out sunblock and bug spray to all the visitors. We probably had like 700 people come out.
Cool.
It was amazing.
Wow,
it
that's
was
a
amazing.
Great turnout, especially for a hot day like that.
For a hot day in a 2.5 hour window.
Right.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's amazing. So if you want to keep up with us, I can't even keep up with us, and I help run the joint, right?
Like, right.
Our calendar and then our social medias. We've got a great team that keeps everybody up to date on Facebook, Instagram, all that good stuff.
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
We're active.
Right, right. Very, very. And you have more than that, too. I saw on your website there was something, The Art of Living, Riding the Wave.
Yes.
And that's coming up, correct?
Probably.
August, I believe.
August, yep. Okay. Yep, it's the same day as Art Venture.
And what does that entail?
So that is a fantastic program. Art of Living, Riding the Wave. So we work with artist and life liver Sarah Johnson, who's in the area, an artist in the area.
Okay.
And she leads this class. I believe it's from 10 until noon. It's a two-hour class that is kind of, it's an art therapy. It's like a group therapy class.
Okay.
Without the uncomfortable stigma of therapy or art therapy or group therapy, right? So she starts with kind of welcoming everybody, talking a little bit about who she is as an artist, kind of what her work is, what she does, and then sets forth an intention. So here's what we're going to think about in today's class. Here's what we're going to look at. Here's what we're going to work through. Here's what we're going to reflect upon.
Okay.
And then everyone's invited to go into the galleries and largely on their own, stand in front of a handful of works of art that resonate with them.
Oh, nice.
And then they go back to the classroom and she has printouts of all of the works that they looked at, and people can kind of make visual collages or visual reminders or even mood boards or affirmations of what they need and what they connected with that work.
Cool.
It's so neat. I did it. I think I was in her second class with my mother-in-law. which was great. So Sarah's therapy training came out and she instantly separated us.
Oh no.
She was like, "You two are family. You shouldn't talk about what you need to work through, because you need to get some space and some distance and some neutrality, but also like anonymity and support. And as daughter-in-law, mother-in-law, you might not have that space."
Right.
And so for just her to recognize that was beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
Was beautiful. And so, because I was like, no, it's fine, I can talk to my mother-in-law. But then when I was talking through stuff, I was like, oh, you're right, I would not have said half of this to my mother-in-law, because
it's
just something
right,
it's a little personal, and sometimes it's easier to share the dark, deep, scary stuff with a stranger
Yeah
than your mother-in-law.
Right. That's kind of interesting.
Who's maybe going to question, and you married my son, why? Right? You're now part of my family, why? No. I just, she's a wonderful woman. My mother-in-law is also a marriage and family therapist as well. Another reason I don't want to tell it, right?
No. Okay.
Just joking. But it was an amazing experience to just work through what Sarah J had us look at. And mm-hmm. what was really neat was that the works that with my group we stood in front of, I had this preconception of which work I was going to resonate with because I already did.
Right.
Yeah. But then when she said, okay, we're going to think about, either pick a topic of connectivity, thoughtfulness, or I forget what they were. And so there was like four kind of really big life topics and concepts and emotions and things mm-hmm. that kind of like swirl around in your brain. And so she's like, just think of all four of these and look at, these six works and just see what connects when you're in front of them.
Right.
And so I had this like driving force preconception of, okay, I was going to connect with this theme and this work because that's just who I am, right? Like,
sure.
I'm a little bit of an OCD, hyper-focused, obsessive achiever driver type of person.
Sure,
I don't know
sure.
if you can tell this, but right. So I'm a zero to 80 kind of girl.
Right.
And so I had my work and my topic picked out before mm-hmm. I went into the gallery, and she kept saying, "Now don't do this. Don't
right.
do this. Like, let it flow. Let it like open your mind, open your heart, open your space, and just
sure.
listen and be mm-hmm. still." Which I was like,
"So were you able to do that then?"
I reared against it, but I was, and I stood in front of a work, and I was like moved to tears because I was not expecting it.
Wow.
Like I was not expecting to have the topic or the work be the ones that connected and resonated for me to this point where, like, I actually felt it in my stomach and I was like,
wow.
this is a little much for me. Like this, I'm uh-huh. total hippy dippy trippy. Love it. Right. Like
right.
all four new ways of healing and thinking and being, and I'm open and receptive, but I was not expecting it for me.
Sure.
And so
okay.
to be in front of this work, I was like, oh my word. Huh. Like I backed up and I walked away and
wow.
then I came back to it because it was too much for me.
Wow.
And so then when we went in, and we sat down and we worked on this collage. Like, Sarah's trying to talk to me. And I was so like, I can't right now. Like, I really, like, I've got to get this out or else it's going to leave. Like, this uh-huh. is how my brain moves. I got to do this. And so we talked through it. And she was like, did you have any idea this was going to happen? I was like, no, I was fighting against this the whole time. Uh-huh, like, I wanted
sure.
to produce this perfect thing. And she's like, what about life is perfect? And it, oh.
Right.
I can't speak highly enough about this class. If I could be in everyone, I would. But I've, again, been suggested that I leave space for other people.
Sure.
To appreciate and take advantage of Sarah's classes. And you just, they're free. You just have
okay,
to sign up
nice.
For them.
But you
yeah.
do have to sign up. Okay.
You do. And they do fill. It's a very popular class. So we do have a wait list.
Oh,
but
wow.
they are offered every other month. So they're six times a year.
Okay.
So sign up if that's of any interest. It will be totally worth 2 hours of your time, and it
cool.
will consume kind of the rest of your day mentally.
Yeah.
But in a good way, in a good space.
Right, right.
Yeah.
It sounds like quite an experience, you know?
It is. And my mother-in-law, it was really interesting kind of talking with her about her experience in it, like
mm-hmm.
as a certified like marriage and family therapist, and even like how she saw it and worked through it and how she and Sarah talked
huh.
versus how like Sarah and I talked. And
right.
Oh, it was amazing. I can't say enough good things about this class.
Cool.
Yeah.
Therapeutic. And it sounds like it can give you a real connection, a deeper connection with the artwork then,
too. Totally. Because now I look at this work that I, to be frank, passed by, like walked
uh-huh.
by on average, because there are other works on each side that I'm more drawn to.
Okay.
From my own training, right?
Right.
Like I've got a bachelor's and a master's in art history. And so I was very trained in how to look at art, what to look at, what to draw out of
mm-hmm.
it. And so this work I always kind of just glossed over and passed
sure.
by because its pendants were more in tune with my training and my education
mm-hmm.
and that side of my brain. So now when I walk through, like, I will pass it, but then like I back up and I sit with
oh,
it
wow.
again and I remember what I needed to work through with it.
Cool.
And now it has a different meaning that for me it's not even like art history training. It's like heart brain.
Just like feeling it.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It was, it's cool.
Cool.
And I'm not going to share what work it is because I need to keep it to myself.
That's cool. That's cool. That's fine.
Thanks for understanding.
But it just sounds so neat that, you know, even someone with your background in art could find something so new and have such a deep appreciation for something you passed over. That's
totally
really cool.
I see it in a completely different way. And then it makes me kind of rethink about other works. Mm-hmm. And if I'm doing them perhaps a disservice.
Oh,
you know what I mean?
Right.
By only applying the analytical.
That knowledge part.
Mm-hmm. The knowledge and the analytical as opposed to the feeling.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, now you can do both.
I can, but it gets, I will say, the feeling, the emotion, the feeling approach to art, like, mm-hmm. you gotta pick and choose, because that's a little more draining than the knowledge.
Yeah, I suppose, because you got such a deep emotional thing going on.
Right, right, which is why we say, you know, museums are a place for meditation, education, vegetation, right? Like, some days... That's what I say.
Mm-hmm.
And so some days, like, I'll walk through and it's purely like, okay, Vincent van Gogh, I talk about like him and his world and all of this, the struggle and his world and the facts about him. And then other days I'll go in and be like, man, this poor individual, like this poor soul mm-hmm. struggled with all of like, what do I do in life? And so I even just flipping facts versus feelings with the work of art, you see a piece differently.
Cool.
Yeah.
Very cool.
It's kind of how I continue to just nerd out about this.
That's awesome, though. I love it.
I enjoy it.
And we're kind of getting to the end of the half hour here.
Sure. Can't believe I've taken up a full
anything?
Half hour.
Yeah, I know. It went by very quick. Is there anything else that we should know about this summer that's going on down there?
It's always 68 degrees.
Aha.
Always
and
68
that's a
degrees.
Beautiful thing
and
lately.
That's a beautiful thing lately. Yes, yes. No, the museum is always there. That's kind of just the reminder of we're closed on Mondays and we're closed mm-hmm. on holidays, but we're there for whatever you need us for.
Cool.
If you need to escape your family or if you need to bring your family.
Sure. Yeah.
Right?
Either way.
Either way, the museum's there. Second Saturday is when it's $1. The rest of the time, $7 for adults. $3 mm-hmm. for students, and every Tuesday is free for students, even during the summer.
Okay, cool.
So if you're a student still in Winona over summer, you're a grad student, you're whomever, mm-hmm. we say kindergarten through grad school.
Cool.
Students are free on Tuesday, so come take advantage of it. We've had a lot of folks coming in on day dates on Tuesdays.
Oh, nice. Very nice.
It's so cute. So cute.
Free and very enjoyable then,
free,
too.
Free, enjoyable. It makes a really good day date, and you have not broke your budget, so you can still take that special someone out to lunch.
Right.
Or stay a little later if you're of age and come to Mississippi Sippin'.
Sure. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Cool.
They will ID you.
Awesome. Well, I've been here with Nicole Chamberlain Dupree. She's the executive director at the Minnesota Marine Art Museum here in Winona. And for more information, you can go to mmam.org.
Yes.
Okay.
Facebook, Instagram.
Nice.
Wherever you live, we are. Twitter's a little more difficult since it's not as visual of a medium.
Right.
But yeah, Facebook, Instagram, website.
Okay.
You can find us. And we're on 800 Riverview Drive if you want to make a pit stop.
Yes.
10 to
yes.
5.
Get that
Tuesday through
there.
Sunday. Yep.
Cool. Cool.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks for being on our show, Nicole.
Thanks so much. I appreciate being here.
No problem.
Bye.
Thanks for listening to Don't You Know? Support for this program is made possible by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Don't You Know is produced by KQAL FM to keep you up to date on the people, places, and events in and around Winona. Visit us online at kqal.org.